using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Wednesday, the 16th of June, year of our Lord 2021, day 459 of America Held Hostage. Well, there's been a turning. It now appears that it is safe for the Wall Street Journal, for Vanity Fair, and even for CBS. If you have enough stature, you can, if you're Jon Stewart, you can now tell the truth about the Wuhan lab. But can you tell the truth about the vaccine? Not yet. We'll be right back. We're going to start with what happened on the Stephen Colbert show, I guess, whatever he calls it. I don't watch it. But he returned to a live broadcast, and he had his mentor, Jon Stewart, on. He calls it The Late Show. That's what he calls it, yeah. As in dead. Dead comedy. the late funny show. It's no longer funny. Comedy has now been killed by Marxism. As a matter of fact, after we talk a little bit about this, we're going to get into the Marxism, because Marxism is not coming, it's already here, and I'm going to show it to you, just how bad it is. For the longest time, we've been talking about elderly people who have escaped communism. It was why Rod Dreher wrote his book, Live Not by Lies, because he said a lot of his friends whose parents escaped communism said, I can't believe this, they were freaking out, they said it's coming here. Well, we have a 27-year-old who escaped from North Korea. And after going to Columbia University, she said, this is worse than what we had in North Korea. And I'm also going to show you what has happened to an American composer who's gotten the same kind of treatment that Shostakovich got under Stalin. That's why I'm saying this is already here. It's not coming. But let's just take a look at how Jon Stewart set the left on fire when he went on the Stephen Colbert show. Again, this is the first time that they've had a live show for over a year, 459 days, I guess. And everybody had to be vaccinated to be in the theater. I guess both of these guys are vaccinated as well. But at least Jon Stewart is not buying into some of the quote-unquote Fauci science.
I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has in many ways helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science.
What do you mean by that? Do you mean there's a chance that this was created in a lab, there's an investigation?
A chance?
Well, if there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask the scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no, if you look at the name, let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan. Oh, because there's a coronavirus loose in Wuhan. How did that happen? Maybe a bat flew into the cloaca of a turkey and then it sneezed into my chili and now we all have coronavirus. Like, come on.
Wait a second.
Colbert's trying to shut him down, but he won't stop.
Oh, my God. There's been an outbreak of chocolatey goodness near Hershey, Pennsylvania. What do you think happened? Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe a steam shovel mated with a cocoa bean. Or it's the chocolate factory. Maybe that's it.
That could be. That could be. That could
By
be.
By the way, I gave them all tuberculosis. Yes.
Yeah, and you heard how desperate Colbert was to shut that up. And you know, when Jon Stewart said, well, you know, what's it say on my business card here? It's kind of interesting because you had Zero Hedge last year, shut down by Twitter. Why? Because they talked about how one of the scientists there was bragging about how he was doing coronavirus and bat chimera research. And it was on his LinkedIn profile, his internet business card. And they were purged for some time by Twitter for that. So, yeah, this is not really satire. This is really what is happening. Now, corporate Colbert was not happy about this. The left on Twitter was very unhappy about that. But Colbert, as you could see there, was nervously pushing back. And actually, the funniest thing about the entire bit was Colbert trying to explain this away. Listen to what Colbert did after he finally got control of the situation.
It could very well be, and Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH have said, like, it should definitely be investigated.
Don't stop with the
Fauci said it should
logic
be investigated.
In people and things. The name of the disease.
Wait a second.
The building.
Wait a second. But it could be possible. You could be right. It could be possible that they have the lab in Wuhan to study the novel coronavirus diseases because in Wuhan, there are a lot of novel coronavirus diseases because of the bat population there.
I understand.
It's like the same.
It's
like,
a local specialty, and it's the only place to find bats. You won't find bats.
Nobody
else.
Like saying,
oh,
why?
Wait, Austin, Texas has thousands of them that fly out of a cave every night. Every night at dusk. Is there a coronavirus in Austin coronavirus? No, it doesn't seem to be an Austin coronavirus. The only coronavirus we have is in Wuhan.
Yes.
Where they have a lab called, what's the lab called again, Stephen?
The Wuhan Novel Coronavirus Lab.
I believe that's the case.
And now, how long have you worked for Senator Ron Johnson?
Let me tell you something.
Oh, yeah, you hear that dig? See what a shill Colbert is? He, like I said, it's the late show because it's not, comedy is dead on that show. It's been pathetic for years. He has been a political tool, and now he is a corporate tool of the corporate drug cartels. That's what this guy is. It's absolutely amazing to see him do this. As a matter of fact, do you think I'm exaggerating by saying that? Take a look at what Stephen Colbert put out on his late show feed. Look at this. Pushing the vaccine with a little jingle and some cartoon figures that he's awkwardly trying to move to in the background. Look at this.
The vaccine shoots 500 vials. What are you waiting for?
Calling out all the different pharmaceutical sponsors. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson.
Now, we're damn close to President Biden's goal of 70% of American adults getting vaccinated by July 4th. But unfortunately, the number of doses being administered daily is on a steep decline. Come on, people, just get the shot. If I had time to speak directly to each of you on national television, I would. Oh, which reminds me, I'm supposed to pass along this message. Uncle Jeff, please get the vaccine, otherwise you can't come to my head writer's wedding. There's going to be a shrimp tower.
Yeah, and you notice when he's talking to Uncle Jeff, he's got pictures of pickup trucks, because, you know, it's all of us vaccine-hesitant rednecks who question the science. When he said to Stewart, when he said, how long you've been working for Senator Kennedy? How long you've been working for these shills, Colbert? Quite a long time. You've been working for Fauci, for the Democrats, now for these corporate drug cartels. But listen to what the left had to say about this. One person says, well, I don't know. Maybe there's an egregious rise in hate towards Asian Americans. We don't need Stewart feeding it. Come on. Seriously, where is that hate coming from? Is it coming from people who don't want vaccines? For the most part, what I've seen is everything that I have seen, the random sucker punches of people on the streets, I've seen that coming from black people just because that hatred has been fomented by the racism and that we see there. The only thing that they have tried to come up with is that one particular shooting where the guy seemed to have a problem with prostitution. He loved Asians too much. But they tried to create that as a narrative. Another one says, John Stewart is spreading conspiracy theories on The Late Show right now because he's too stupid to realize that coronaviruses are effing category of virus, not just COVID-19. Are you too stupid to understand the research that he's pointing out? Yeah, that's not the name of the place. That was a satire. But the reality is that's all what that's their specialty. They were talking about it on LinkedIn. They were busted years ago for doing this while they were under moratorium by Congress. Fauci continued to fund this in North Carolina, in China. But of course, we only talk about China. We don't talk about North Carolina. Another one says, I'm sorry, John, just disappointed in your appearance on Colbert. I really like you. But the Wuhan thing was a bit much. Take care. In other words, I'm leaving. Another one. He's also spitting harmful conspiracy theories. Oh, that's fun. What's up with John Stewart and anti-science? I thought he was smarter than that. You know, he didn't even directly criticize Fauci, Mr. Science himself. So he's not criticizing science, is he? He had one thing to say about scientists, which was really spot on. And again, he began by saying, hey, we love science. It can help, but we're in this situation because of science. Actually, we're in this situation because of politics, because of bureaucrats, because they planned this for 20 years. But he did have something important to say because we don't want to make this simply about Wuhan. We don't want to make it simply about Fauci. We want to understand that this is simply about gain-of-function research that should not be done at all. And so here's what John Stewart had to say. Final clip.
Science is incredible, but they don't know when to stop. And nobody in the room with those cats ever goes, yeah, I don't know if we should do that.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody there ever says, well, I don't know if we should do that. They don't ever say that. I've said that for the longest time. I said I've noticed that with engineers who develop horrific weapons for the military-industrial complex. And, of course, they're developing autonomous killer robots, autonomous killer robot swarms of drones now. Nobody ever stops to think, should we really be doing this? Oh, no. I've got a job here, and this is an intellectual puzzle. Let me jump into it. I'm not going to think about the consequences here. Said that for the longest time. Something really bothered me in engineering, and, of course, the same thing is there in other branches of technology and science. When Colbert said, how long have you worked for Senator Ron Johnson? Stewart responded, let me tell you something about Ron Johnson. This is not a conspiracy. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory. It is a conspiracy fact. And quite frankly, it is a conspiracy. It is a conspiracy between Fauci, the WHO, and all these other people who have been planning this for 20 years. Johns Hopkins, the CDC, all of these people, it is their conspiracy, and they've rehearsed it annually for 20 years. They rehearsed it before 9/11. They staged the false flag attack a week after 9/11. They pushed out the rules these people have been operating under 2 months after the anthrax attacks, the week after 9/11. Vanity Fair and Wall Street Journal now finally reporting on evidence supporting the COVID lab leak theory, as LifeSite News points out, in a lengthy and intriguing read. Vanity Fair has done an incredible about-face in its reporting on COVID-19. Of course, they're trying to pretend that they were always skeptical about this. No, they weren't. They're detailing and revealing hidden investigations in the origins of the virus in a tone that attempts to convey how they had always defended the view, not vilified those who proposed it throughout 2020. The details are impressive. They recount numerous details of the U.S. State Department, World Health Organization, and Chinese investigations and communications surrounding the origins. Crucially, the article focuses on what has been dubbed the lab leak theory. And let me just say this. Why do we always have to say it's a lab leak? Is there not a possibility that it was deliberate? That it was deliberately released? Whenever I talked about this, from the very beginning, as soon as I saw, oh, yeah, okay, it came from a bat who kissed a pangolin. Yeah, I was laughing about that. I said from the very beginning, it was batshit crazy to tell people that that was what was happening. You got the only biosafety level 4 lab in China right there, just a couple of blocks away. Did it leak? Was it released on purpose? I said the real pandemic, the real virus was political. It was the reaction that China had to that, which made absolutely no sense to react to even a real pandemic that way. It's a real virus. I really believe it's a real virus. And I've had a lot of people say, well, you know, you can't, they always refuse to give an isolated sample. That's true. And they can always say, well, that's just semantics or whatever. I've seen, and I have so many people who have told me that they or loved ones have gotten sick with this, but it is not a serious virus. It's not. What we're seeing here is a different strain of flu. Fortunately, this time they didn't get it right, in my opinion. I think they tried, and they didn't get it right. I'm not even convinced that it was leaked. I think it was probably released deliberately. They may have decided that they were just going to do something that would take out the low-hanging fruit, the elderly people, so they could reduce the retirement liability that they have. Or they may have tried to make it really dangerous and failed. Like I mentioned last week, I said, look at the F-35. You don't think that they try to make lethal weapons and sometimes the weapons can't even fire their guns without shooting the plane itself? That's what's happening with the F-35. It's got so many problems, it can't really fly correctly, but it can't fire its gun. This is a $1 trillion jet program. Our most advanced fighter that we've ever had. The most expensive we've ever had. And yet it can't fire its guns. So I don't know if these people did this deliberately and then failed. If this was accidental, I do know that we should not have gain-of-function research. And that's what I want the focus to be on. But I also know that we did not have a pandemic. What we had was a pandemic of politics. We had a pandemic of medical malpractice that was financially incentivized by the White House, giving people tremendous amounts of money to not treat the disease with very cheap, effective, long-term drugs that have been around forever. Not allowed to even talk about HCQ and these other things. So I think they had a strain of flu that was maybe slightly more dangerous because it was more novel, and it was easily stopped by a lot of doctors who were completely ignored by the Trump administration. As the frontline doctors held repeated press conferences in front of the Supreme Court, Trump kept Fauci on the podium, and he throws HCQ out there and then waits for Fauci to slap him and tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. U.S. researchers in the COVID origins found a 2015 paper authored by the Wuhan Institute of Virology and its lead coronavirus researcher, and also by the University of North Carolina epidemiologist Ralph Baric. Again, glad they mentioned that, because that's always left. We don't want to criticize UNC Chapel Hill, and we don't want to criticize the more than 200 labs that have a very poor safety record doing research that they should not be doing. As John Stewart said, nobody ever says, hey, wait a minute, should we not be doing, hey, we got a big contract here to do this. Forget it. It'll be fun. And they're paying us big bucks. So what were they doing at UNC Chapel Hill and the Wuhan Institute of Virology? They proved that a spike protein from a novel coronavirus could indeed infect human cells. And so what do? We make a vaccine to push that spike protein into humans. And that's the thing that's causing all the vascular damage, the lung damage, disease, and crossing the blood-brain barrier into the brain, causing blood clots, and all types of things. Using mice as subjects, they inserted the protein from a Chinese rufous horseshoe bat into the molecular structure of the SARS virus from 2002, creating a new infectious pathogen, quote unquote. That's from Vanity Fair, pointing that out. Oh, look. They've got bats and coronaviruses, exactly what the guy put on his LinkedIn profile, which you're not allowed to talk about. And it was financed by the National Institute of Health. Here's a kicker. They said, quote, in the entire class of coronaviruses that includes COVID-2, the CGG-CGG combination has never been found naturally in the sequencing genome. Yet while it has never been found naturally, it is the insertion sequence of choice in laboratories when scientists are looking to alter a virus with a gain-of-function supercharge. And the supercharge alteration can be done easily and leaves no trace of manipulation. It's kind of like the way they rigged the voting machines, isn't it? You know, you can insert a virus into the software. It can alter the votes, and then it deletes itself, and that's what they're saying here. They found that combination, which is it's never natural, but it's the sequence, the gene sequence that they prefer to do in the lab. Boom. One more from the article. Quayle-Muller also referred to humanized mice who are modified to have the same coronavirus receptors as humans so that a virus could be developed on them. Now, who is it that we've had so many stories about lately that works on humanized mice? Ah, that would be, let's see, Mr. Science himself, Fauci, and the University of Pittsburgh, and the Planned Parenthood people that I did reports on several weeks ago. I said the nexus of those three. Yeah, we need some baby parts. Can you get those for us, Planned Parenthood? And here's what I want. Yeah, I want these particular organs. I'd like them fresh, not frozen. Here's $18,000 if you get it for me, because we're working on some humanized mice and some other Frankenstein science at the University of Pittsburgh, and we don't care about any ethics. So, yeah, we find out that back in 2015, they said, look at this. Looky here. We can cross a bat with a coronavirus. We can take that spike protein, and we can use that to infect humans. And we proved that because we did humanized mice. We engineered that, and you can see it in the sequence. They knew. They knew from the very beginning. They knew when they did this. That was back in 2015. So when they made the vaccines, they knew what they were doing. They knew it was the spike protein. They knew from the very beginning. And let me tell you the other thing. As we see this research coming out of the Thomas Jefferson University, that's a very small university. It's a small private university. It's got about 3,700 students. Expensive tuition, $41,000 a year. Maybe that's not expensive. Seems like it to me. But a small private university was able to determine that mRNA can actually modify DNA, which we were told by Fauci and all the experts, no, 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 that can't happen. That cannot happen. No, no, here's the experiment, and you can see it. See this happening here? That scientific dogma that they've been feeding everybody, dogma excrement is what it was, and these people said, yeah, no, mRNA, it can modify your DNA. It doesn't just copy the DNA. As a matter of fact, it does a better job of modifying the DNA than it does of copying the DNA in mammals. Do you think that Fauci, with his billions of dollars of research, do you think that Francis Collins, who hung out for decades at the Human Genome Project looking at DNA, do you think those guys might have known that? Do you think they, I mean, it's possible that these scientists at Thomas Jefferson University discovered something that they didn't find. I mean, you know, we saw that with the Wright brothers, a couple of homeschooled bicycle mechanics figured out something that the chief scientist of the day, the Fauci of his day, Langley himself, head of the Smithsonian, revered by everyone, could not figure out. So it is possible that this scientist at a small university with very limited resources discovered that. It's also very possible that the same people who knew that the spike protein was the dangerous thing, that they could infect you with it, and then chose to use that for all of the coronavirus vaccines. It's also possible those people know that mRNA is capable of modifying your DNA. And it's also possible that they did some things to the vaccine that they're not telling us, isn't it? Based on the way these people have conducted themselves. And based on the fact that no treatment was allowed. None whatsoever. Gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. All right, I want to talk about Marxism. We'll get back to what is happening with the lockdown and vaccines in just a moment. But let's talk about Marxism first. Let's talk about Marxist tactics. Yeah, we call it the cancel culture. We call it canceling people. As if this is something that's new. There's nothing new about it. That's just putting a positive and deceptive spin on a very, very old tactic by these people. And you know, when I was looking at the cancel culture last week, I thought, you know, I need to do something about Shostakovich. Talk to people about his particular case and his struggles that he had with the Soviets, with Stalin, for example. Very well-known composer and of the 20th century, but he was heavily censored, canceled, if you will, by the Soviets. And yet before I got a chance to do that, we had a story about how that has now happened to an American composer here who's run afoul of the people that you're not supposed to criticize on the left. You know, the humorless Marxists have killed comedy, and they're coming for music. But let me give you a sample of one of the pieces. There's a lot of music that Shostakovich wrote, and it is very different in terms of different styles. He went through several different styles. He drew from a lot of different sources. There was one in particular, though, from an opera that he did called The Gadfly. And the music was used as the theme song for Riley Ace of Spies. And I talked about this when we were talking about QAnon and the tactics of QAnon, how the Bolsheviks and Felix Dzerzhinsky, the predecessor of the KGB, was the Cheka. And the guy who was in charge of it, who was kind of the police state arm for Lenin, very, very clever. And so it was a game of wits between the best spy that the British had, Sidney Reilly, the guy that Ian Fleming based James Bond on. So it was a battle of wits, but he was eventually trapped by the Trust, which portrayed itself as Bolsheviks in exile, people who were trying to overthrow Lenin, when in reality, it was actually Lenin's own Felix Dzerzhinsky and the Cheka that was running it. They posed that way because, first of all, they could take the money from the MAGA people. I'm sorry, the anti-Bolsheviks. And then they could also figure out who they all were. So they get to see who the people that wanted to destroy them were, and they could actually lure some of them back into Russia and kill them. It's also a story that's very famous in Russia, not so much in the West, because it was the Bay of Pigs for the British Empire, one of the events that he was involved in. But let me just preface these remarks about Shostakovich with the opening from Riley, Ace of Spies. Excellent series, 6 or 7 different episodes. I highly recommend it. And that's a little bit of Dmitri Shostakovich's Gadfly Use. And you saw the pictures there of Riley, Ace of Spies. And he was 1906 to 1975. He was right at the center of the Lenin-Stalinist time frame. He was described as someone whose work was characterized by sharp contrasts. He would go from grotesque and ambivalent tonality to the kind of romanticism that you just heard there, inspired by disparate artists like Stravinsky and Mahler. But here is what is relevant about the politics of this. 17th January, 1936, Stalin paid a rare visit to the opera. And there was a little-known composer, Dzerzhinsky, not related to Felix, I don't think, who was called to Stalin's box at the end of the performance, told that his work had considerable ideological political value. A week later, Stalin revisited the opera to hear the opera that was being performed by Shostakovich. And he was told, you better be here because Stalin's going to be listening to the opera. And, you know, he might give you a commendation. However, eyewitness accounts testify that Shostakovich was, quote, white as a sheet when he went to take his bow after the third act. He had recounted the horror with which he had watched as Stalin shuddered every time the brass and percussion played too loudly. Equally horrifying was the way Stalin and his companions laughed at the love scene between the two characters and Lady Macbeth. The next day, he saw Pravda had published a tirade with the title Muddle Instead of Music, complaining that the opera was deliberately dissonant, a muddled stream of sounds, quacks, hoots, pants, and gasps. This was a signal for then a nationwide campaign against Shostakovich. See how it's mob mentality, group think? So when it comes from Pravda, when it comes from, oh, I don't know, Stephen Colbert, or when it comes from CNN or whoever it is, well, now you got your marching orders. We all need to mock this person. So the nationwide campaign, during which even Soviet music critics who had praised the opera before were now forced to recant in print, saying that they, quote, failed to detect the shortcomings of Lady Macbeth, as pointed out by Pravda. No, we see the error of our ways. Does this sound familiar? On the 6th of February, Shostakovich was again attacked in Pravda, this time for a different piece, a light comic ballet. As a result of the campaign conducted against him by Pravda, coming from Stalin, commissions began to fall off and his income fell by about three quarters. His Fourth Symphony was due to receive its premiere, but he withdrew it from the public, possibly because it was banned. And that was in 1936. It was not actually performed until 1961, until Stalin was gone. Then he got a second denunciation in 1948. He, along with many other composers, were again denounced for formalism in the Zadanov decree. Andrei Zadanov, chairman of the RSFRSR Supreme Soviet, accused many composers, not just Shostakovich, but Prokofiev and Khachaturian, of writing inappropriate music. Right? There's no limit to what these people will do. There's no boundary. I mean, look at what we're doing is even crazier. Because we're playing with pronouns and gender and we're playing with kids. Even crazier. The accused composers, including Shostakovich, were summoned to make public apologies in front of the committee. The Soviet. That's what Soviet means. Most of Shostakovich's works were banned. His family had their privileges withdrawn. At this time, said one of his friends, he waited his arrest at night out on the landing by the elevator so that at least his family would not be disturbed. Shostakovich was among those dismissed from the conservatory altogether. The loss of money was perhaps the largest blow. And this is exactly how they handle dissidents, and this is why they want to corral us into universal basic income while they watch and analyze every move we make, every opinion we have. That is communism, to make sure that they limit where we can go, what we can do, and that they have us on a leash. Well, if you don't toe the line, you're going to get kicked out of your apartment, you'll lose your job, you'll have no money. The year 1960 marked another turning point in Shostakovich's life. He joined the Communist Party, finally. Couldn't put up with it anymore. Remember, this has been going on for about 15 years. It was understood that Nikita Khrushchev, the first secretary of the Communist Party from 1953 to 64, was looking for support from the intelligentsia's leading ranks in an effort to create a better relationship with the Soviet Union's artists. This event has variously been interpreted, that is, Shostakovich's joining the Communist Party, as either a show of commitment, a mark of cowardice as a result of political pressure, or his free decision. However, his son recalled that when Shostakovich joined the Communist Party, the event reduced him to tears, and he later told his wife that he had been blackmailed. Then once he joined the party, several articles he did not write, denouncing individualism in music, were published under his name in Pravda. Remember, Pravda means truth. And the Russians knew better than that. They said there is no truth in Pravda, and there's no news in Izvestia. Izvestia meant truth. Those are the two that everybody could get their information from. Not too much different than today. By joining the party, Shostakovich also committed to finally writing a homage to Lenin that he had promised beforehand. So his 12th symphony, which portrays the Bolshevik revolution, was completed in 1961 and dedicated to Lenin and called the year 1917. And about this time, his health began to deteriorate. Which brings us to what is happening in America today. A young composer who condemned arson is now getting the Shostakovich treatment. I'll play a little bit of his music while we talk about this. Until last year, Daniel Elder, a 34-year-old musician who lives in Nashville, had a promising career ahead of him. The theme of the prize-winning composer's work, Truth Through Emotion, and this is his work you hear in the background, is evident across his catalog of choral music, including his debut commercial album, The Heart's Reflection. Elder isn't composing very much these days. Even if he were, no one in the industry is willing to buy his work. His publisher has blackballed him. Local choral directors refuse to program his music for fear of provoking a backlash. They won't even let him sing in the choir. He said, "My artistic wellspring is capped. I think it'll come back, but things have remained in quite a rough place after all this happened." Nice music, isn't it? What happened? Elder made a short statement on Instagram that went viral during the George Floyd protests in the summer of 2020. The young composer is hardly the first person to suffer significant professional consequences after causing a social media firestorm. Virtually every day brings more examples of how people saying slightly offensive things stoke the fury of the mob. Very much like how they first came after Shostakovich. Yeah, the critics who liked his work. Oh, no, I was mistaken. It's horrible. I have my orders from on high. You want to know who is running our country? Who is it that you're not allowed to criticize? Well, it's actually BLM. The problem is now so exhaustively covered in the media that cancel culture has become a top issue for many Republican voters, says Reason Magazine. Again, reason doesn't really get the core of the issue, although this is an excellent case. They said a supposed transgression stands out as particularly absurd. He was tarred and feathered as a racist contrarian for an Instagram post. An overwhelming majority of people likely agree with the sentiment behind it, which is basically arson is bad. Elders always considered himself to be a man of the center-left. He had supported liberal causes, including police reform and opposition to racism. The fact that he was on the same page as the progressive activist felt like a strange betrayal, he said. Not everyone on the streets was peaceful as they were rioting in the aftermath of George Floyd's death, right? It was not mostly peaceful. You had a group of activists started smashing windows, spraying graffiti, and then they threw rocks at police cars. Eventually, somebody set the city's historic courthouse on fire. The courthouse windows were smashed, its walls were spray painted with graffiti, and fires were started inside the building. And a plaque commemorating the civil rights movement in Nashville was destroyed. This destruction spooked Elder because he lived very close by and because the entire city was under curfew. I saw mob mentality around my own friends, he said. I worried that was what was happening on the outside too. So disenchanted, unable to sleep, he decided to delete his Instagram account. He penned one last final farewell, which was cross-posted to Twitter and to his professional Facebook page. Quote, "Enjoy burning it down, you well-intentioned blind people. I'm done." Oh, and he was done at that point. Just think about that. I mean, enjoy burning it down, you well-intentioned blind people. I'm done. These are some of the things that he got after that. People started spamming his Facebook and YouTube pages. Comments accusing him of being racist, of being a white supremacist piece of garbage. One former fan said, "I've relatively recently become aware of your work and have enjoyed your compositions for their sensitivity and artistry. However, after learning of your insensitive comments on social media," all that's missing here is comrade, "perceived as misunderstood, I've decided to unsubscribe from your YouTube channel. I will no longer recommend your compositions to colleagues." Another wrote, "It's really a shame. Such beautiful music, and I feel like I can't do any of it now." Another said, "I'm a choir director and a department head for the music department for a private school in Ohio. I want to inform you that your rhetoric surrounding the recent protests is unacceptable, and my school will not be programming your music unless and until a public apology is issued." What did he say again? He said, as they burned down the historic courthouse that had a plaque commemorating the civil rights movement in Nashville, he said, "Enjoy burning it all down, you well-intentioned blind people. I'm done." And for that, he's labeled a white supremacist. And he is boycotted by the American Marxists, just like Shostakovich was by the Soviets. Do some research, maybe some inner reflection, and maybe you'll figure out where your racist tendencies are coming from. You are canceled. Black Lives Matter. Within 24 hours, controversy had garnered the attention of GIA publications. In the world of choral music, GIA is not merely a publisher. It is the major publisher for this type of work. That was an important source of his income, and they canceled him. And so they said the toll on Elder's mental well-being, again, this is an article from Reason Magazine, has been equally catastrophic. Losing countless friends, colleagues, and fans is no small matter for an artist. He has seen a therapist, a psychiatrist. He says he's needed to be talked off the ledge several times. And he's been struggling to compose any new music since everything fell apart. But then there's this. "Because I was exiled," he said, "I started listening to voices on the right and the center, especially these classical liberals who have been exiled from the leftist movement. The strange silver lining in this is that it shook me out of my prejudices a little bit." Absolutely. When we look at how this is spreading and metastasizing, in Massachusetts, We have a school district there calling for students and teachers to report others for bias incidents. That's why I say Marxism is here. Look at what happened to Elder. Look at what is going on in the schools. And where is the Marxism coming from? I've said for the longest time, our educational institutions, first it was the colleges, but now it is K through 12, are all of our educational institutions have become seminaries for Marxism. The Boston Area School District's Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion defines an incident of bias as, quote, conduct, speech, or expression that has an impact but may not involve criminal action, but demonstrates conscious or unconscious bias. You might not even mean anything by it, but, you know, because you're white, you have unconscious bias. Towards any protected identity group. Race, ethnicity, natural origin, sex, gender identity or expression, sexual orientation, religion, or disability. Because, you know, some of those things are protected. Some sexual orientations are protected and others aren't. Some religions are protected and others aren't. Some races are protected and others aren't. Except that there isn't any such thing as different races. What they mean by that is different skin colors. Bias-based behavior can also be described as when someone treats another person differently or makes an offensive comment because of their membership, again, in a protected identity group, such as race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, religion, or disability. Which brings us to the young woman, Yeonmi Park, who did an interview with Fox News. She escaped from North Korea, and then she went to Columbia University, which she says is crazier than North Korea. And she's absolutely right. After attending an Ivy League university, a defector from North Korea is warning Americans that if they continue on the current path, their future is, quote, as bleak as North Korea. The anti-Western sentiment, the collective guilt, the suffocating political correctness at Columbia University was deeply disturbing, she said in an interview with Fox News. Even North Korea was not this nuts. North Korea was pretty crazy. But not this crazy. She's 27 years old. And she expected that in exchange for the time, effort, and fortune, she said, that she gave to attend the prestigious university, Columbia, she thought she'd be taught how to think. She said, but they're forcing you to think the way they want you to think. Because, again, what is the characteristic, the hallmark of totalitarianism? It is tyranny over the mind of man. This is nothing new. It's inscribed in the Jefferson Monument. He understood that the ultimate tyranny is over your mind. And now it has been weaponized by science. It was always the case that they would tyrannize your mind. I realized, she said, wow, this is insane. I thought America was different, but I saw so many similarities to what I saw in North Korea that I started worrying. She said she saw red flags immediately on transferring to Columbia from a South Korean university in 2016. A staff member scolded her during orientation because she admitted she enjoyed classic Western literature and authors such as Jane Austen. That's right. We have to get rid of Greek and Latin. We're going to not make that requirements anymore in classical studies. We're not going to study Western literature. I remember a few decades ago, Bill Bennett was wringing his hands and saying, look at this. They're not really studying Western literature anymore. Now they're actively banning Western civilization, Western literature. She said, did you know that these, the staffer told her, did you know that these writers had a colonial mindset, that they were racists and bigots and they were subconsciously brainwashing you? They were subconsciously brainwashing you. She's talking about Jane Austen. She said it got worse as every class was filled with the kind of anti-American propaganda that she grew up with in North Korea. She initially pushed back, getting into arguments with faculty and students. But then she eventually, quote, learned how to just shut up, she said, for the sake of getting a good grade point average and graduating. She said, because I've seen oppression, I know what it looks like. But fellow students keep telling me that they're oppressed and how much injustice they've experienced. She said, they don't know how hard it is to be free. They don't understand that they have freedom. They've been gaslighted by these people in the same way people have been gaslighted and thinking that they're living in a pandemic when they're not. In North Korea, she said, people are deceived by propaganda because they aren't taught to think critically. And that is what is happening in America. People see things, but they've just completely lost their ability to think critically. Unlike North Korea, Americans have access to great thinkers, but they choose to be brainwashed, she said. Exactly right. Another case of cancel culture, not from music, but from video games. Game Rant reported Sunday that fans of the video game created by a particular developer named Cawthorn, quote, concerned and hurt to find out where the money Cawthorn makes from the popular horror series is going. Scott Cawthorn was doxxed and outed by the comrades on Open Secrets. They noticed that the developer had made significant monetary contributions to a number of conservative politicians such as Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump. I don't share his political beliefs, but I don't think you ought to be canceled. They're also upset because he gave money to Tulsi Gabbard, who they have now, the comrades have now labeled her as someone who targets gay and transgender people with her policies. What policies would those be? That would be to say that girls should not have to compete with biological boys who are wearing skirts and changing to ridiculous pronouns. That's what they're angry with Tulsi Gabbard about. He said, I'd like to think that the last 7 years would have given me the benefit of the doubt in regards to how I treat people. But there I was, trending on Twitter for being a homophobe, getting doxxed with people threatening to come to my house. All this because I exercised my right, my duty as an American citizen to vote for and to support candidates who I felt could best run the country. And that's something I will not apologize for. He says, I am a Republican, a Christian, and pro-life, and I'm not going to apologize for that. I believe in God. I also believe in equality and in science and in common sense. Despite what some may say, all those things can't go together. That's not an apology. That's not a promise to change. That's the way it has always been. To show you just how bad this campaign of fear and canceling has become. Top Navy officer refuses to condemn the idea that white people created HIV. And this is the chief of naval operations, Michael Gilday, as he is being questioned by Indiana Republican Jim Banks over critical race theory in the military because he pushed out a book for the sailors to read. And in the book, it says that HIV was created by white people to get to black people. He refuses to answer the question. He says, well, I'd have to know the context in which these statements are made. Well, it's made in a book that you sent out to people. That's in a book. And he says, well, I can't answer that. Well, that's a simple question, Admiral. This is a book you recommended for every sailor in the U.S. Navy to read. Then Gilday pivoted to a series of left-wing talking points about racism in America. Finally, we have Senator Cotton proposing that Republican lawmakers move to defund schools teaching the New York Times 1619 Project. That would be a start. I've already said this for a while. You want to talk about defunding the police? The bigger problem is the schools. Let's defund the schools, not just the ones who are teaching 1619. It is far broader and deeper than that. Just defund these schools. Government should not be involved in education. And again, going back to the same reasons that Thomas Jefferson said, we don't want to have a state church. Why? At the time, people were required in some states to attend the official state church, and others, they were not required to attend. They were just required to pay money into it. That is the situation we're into today. Understand that the fundamental purpose of education is about character, is about beliefs, the belief system, the worldview that you're teaching people. It is fundamentally about those things. And that is not anything that the government should be teaching to people any more than we should have a state church. We should not have this. And that state church of the schools has been taken over by radical Marxists. There's absolutely no doubt about it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll go out with some music from Shostakovich, his festive overture. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com. All right, and as we're listening to Shostakovich, it was a bit of nostalgia for me. When I was 50 years ago, in high school, our concert band played that. And I'll always be grateful to the band director that I had. He had not just our band, but a long string of bands that had always been at top of the competitions at state levels. He knew how to inspire merit. He knew how to motivate people. And that was a very difficult piece to play, but we did it. Someday I'll find the record for it, and then I'll have to find a record player, and I'd like to listen to it again. Anyway, yeah, bit of nostalgia. I can't believe it's been 50 years. Let me read a couple of letters that we had from people who sent this via mail, snail mail, along with donations. Thank you to Anda. She wrote this. She said, "I learned a lot from you. Consider you to be my mentor. Before I heard your show, I was in a very deep depression. I almost died of COVID, and then my mother died in Europe. I was never able to see her." And that's one of the tragedies of malpractice that we're seeing over and over again. She probably could not see her because she couldn't travel, but we have people whose parents are dying in hospitals with a mask over their face. They're kept out of the rooms because of all of this medical superstition pushed by Mr. Science himself. I am so disgusted as what I've seen. It's time that we push back on this. We can't just quietly say, all right, we can all come out of our holes now. There has to be a reckoning for this. And we need to recognize what these people have done. Another letter from Michael. Said, "Because I pray for you, you and your family have become very important to me, and I really do appreciate it." He goes on to talk about pit bulls, and let me give you an update on Scout, because he talks a good bit about Scout and praying for Scout. "I really do appreciate the people who have been praying for Scout, and we have some good news. He seems to be feeling much better. We took him to a different vet who was much more optimistic. This is a country vet. I think really knows what he's doing, as opposed to the other guy who's just about racking up fees on credit card. But the pit bull, we investigated the pit bulls because he was attacked by pit bulls once before, and we saw that. And this particular time, as we've talked to neighbors and talked to the people, the pit bulls were locked up. So we don't think it was the pit bulls this time. They've kept them under control since that last incident. We believe this was coyotes, based on what other neighbors have told us about what has happened to their pets, and also with a number of chickens that we've had killed lately. But where he is right now, his leg is still completely raw. Karen is really overwhelmed with keeping him clean, but she's doing a fantastic job, according to the vet. And we're starting to get some small granulation on the outside of the leg, which appears that the skin is starting to grow back. It's actually coming in, not detached from the muscle, but now coming in, and the edge is attached to the muscle and starting to grow in, it appears, although we can't see any closure of that yet. The other issue, though, is still that it's still exposed, and there is a large gaping hole on the inside of his leg, which still has to be operated on, and that is the thing that has us worried about. And that's, the vet said, I don't want to operate on that yet. Let's give that a little bit more time. But it has been getting larger. So those are the things. He still needs your prayer. We still appreciate your support and your prayers on all of this. Michael goes on to say, Satan, of course, is looking for any way to get at you, as he is all of us. I'm just trying to bring your attention to something you might not have given thought to. I'm a few years older than you. I had to retire from ranching due to my bad back. I'm a detail person who's learned the hard way too many times what can happen when we let a seemingly unimportant thing slip by. He said, my mind, how many things that you must think about all the time, but please don't let this one slip by unattended to. I know God is with you. Perhaps he just wants people like me to let you know how much we care about you. And I really do appreciate that. I really do appreciate that. Thank you, Michael. Do appreciate the words of encouragement and the support that we get from people. Although I don't have time to read each and every article or letter that we get from everybody. I do read the articles. That's why I don't have time to read aloud all the different letters. But thank you so much to all of you who have given us support and encouragement. I just want to say before I move back to the lockdown, to the vaccine, to news about G7 and free speech, that we had, to point out, Southern Baptists were having a convention, and it was going to be something of a litmus test as to which direction the large denomination was going to go. And unfortunately, they took the wrong turn, in my opinion, apparently. They had several different candidates that were there. And I don't know much about this particular guy, but from what everybody is saying, he does not represent a conservative wing. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm even talking about theology, because let me tell you, critical race theory, intersectionality, that is doctrinal. It is worldview. It is not just, are you aligned with Republicans or the Democrats type of stuff. There's been too much of that in all these different churches. And I think when we look at a statement that he signed, this particular guy who has now been elected president, back in December, this last December, middle of the December, I think it kind of gives us an idea of where they're headed. And in this signed statement, the statement says, many people deny the existence of systemic injustice as reality. Many who recognize systemic injustice are labeled as Marxists, as liberals, as critical race theorists, even though they're theologically orthodox and believe in the total supremacy of Scripture. Let me tell you something. If you believe in the Bible, you would not believe in critical race theory, intersectionality, or any of this Marxist liberal nonsense. So this is what's happened now, and this has been the way of all the big denominations. You can talk about Methodists, Presbyterians, all of them. As you create these big political structures, which the Southern Baptist Convention has become a big political operation. When you create that, what you're saying is that God's design for autonomous churches is not sufficient, and we need to have a political organization that's going to be able to do something that God could not do. And so as you see in the Catholic Church with the Pope, who the conservative Catholics are saying, what is with this guy? He is a Marxist. They're open, avowed Marxists coming out of Central and South America. And they are focused on politics predominantly. And you can see this with this Pope, right? He's throwing out traditional Catholic doctrines as he is going after climate change, as he's putting up statues. I mean, it is. And I look at this, and I look at the complaints from the conservative Catholics. I'm not Catholic. On LifeSite News, it's like, why are you still there? I don't get it. And I don't understand what's going on with the Southern Baptists either. Why are you standing behind this political structure that has no basis in the Bible. There's no more basis for a big convention or for a top-down structure of religion than there is for critical race theory or for intersectionality. They're one and the same thing. And when you have that type of structure, as we've seen in the universities, as we've seen in Washington, these institutions rot from the top down. All you have to do is turn the people at the top, and then you can turn the entire organization away. I expect that's going to happen with the Baptists now. They need to go back to what has worked during the Roman Empire and its persecution, and the Chinese Communist Empire and its persecution, and that is autonomous, independent churches that are based, that are focused on what the Bible has to say. Read the Bible, and then you'll have an autonomous, distinguished churches that are led by elders locally. That is the model. It's exactly what you would do if you're going to set up, oh, I don't know, some kind of a decentralized guerrilla movement to take over the world. Yeah, God knew exactly what he was doing. Don't be surprised when stupid laws are maintained with force. Oh, that's right. Have you seen the picture of the teen who was tasered by the cops because he was vaping? They said, put that down. And he's got his hands up, and they tasered him. He just falls over backwards. Fortunately, didn't hit his head. And so in response to this, in Ocean City, Maryland, we are horrified and outraged by the incident of police violence in Ocean City, reads a statement from an advocacy group in response to that viral video of the teen being tasered for smoking. But as Reason points out, kids in Perth Amboy, New Jersey, had their bicycles seized. Children had their bicycles seized. I guess civil asset forfeiture. You can never start too young training these people about police authority and about unconstitutional law, civil asset forfeiture. Why? Well, they'd failed to register their bikes with the city, or because they had minor traffic infractions, just take the bike. Because when you grow up, we're going to do that with your car too, right? I'm not going to charge you with anything. We just take your property, keep it. So if we have bad laws, they're going to be enforced by bad people. And they'll be enforced violently in some cases, just as we've seen with a pandemic, and just as we're seeing with pastors in Canada. Tim Stevens, arrested now a second time. The picture that I have pinned on my profile on both Twitter and Gab. On Twitter, I'm Libertarian. On Gab, it's David Knight Show. But I pinned the picture the first time they arrested him, his children gathered around him. He's got, I think, 8 children. There's 6 of them who were gathered around him in this particular picture. It is, he is in a vehicle with bars, reaching his hand out as the children are grasping his hand and crying. Pastor's kids were in tears as they witnessed their father being hauled away by the cops from their home, writes Rebel News. The police had searched for and discovered the location of his underground church by using a helicopter. A video of the arrest posted by Rebel News reporter Adam Sues shows Stevens' kids crying while saying goodbye, Daddy, as he was placed inside a police car. Stevens' wife, Raquel, told police officers that no other jurisdiction is imprisoning pastors for breaking health orders in Canada, only Alberta. The officer responded, I'm not going to speak to that, okay? I would say just continue the course you're continuing on. Push further ahead. Push harder if you need to. But she said, how much harder can we push here? You want to arrest me? You want to take away my kids too? The officer said, I have no reason to arrest you, all right? Oh, yeah. Well, if they tell him, he will arrest her. If they tell him to, he will take the kids away as well, right? Yeah, show that picture. There it is. There's a picture. Tim was arrested again, Tim Stevens, for holding an outdoor service. An outdoor service. See, in Alberta, they're saying, they said, well, you're not going to have more than 15% of the church. All last year, when the pandemic, allegedly pandemic, was raging. And some of these people stopped at the very beginning. Tim Stevens stopped at the very beginning, but he said, you know, we looked around, we realized there is no pandemic. We would know if there's a pandemic, wouldn't we? We know when somebody in your group of friends, you know, we know when there is a stomach virus going around, don't we? Don't you think we would know if there was a pandemic going around? It's a pandemic of politics. It's a pandemic of malpractice. It's a pandemic of greed. It is a Chinese pandemic. Not a Chinese virus so much. Anyway, so they changed it from 15% to just 15 people. And so they met outdoors. And they still came after him. He went before a justice of the peace this evening. He refused the bail condition, so he remained in custody until his next court date, June the 28th, wrote his wife. She asked for prayers that her husband would be released soon. She said in a statement, "We are shaken, but our faith is not. We are sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Tim's imprisonment will strengthen us in the faith and embolden us to love and obey Christ no matter the cost." And that's what I penned several weeks ago, first time he was arrested. I said, look at these children as they see their father being taken away for doing the right thing, not committing a crime. They will see that integrity, and it will make them stronger. They'll be stronger. They'll be better for it. It's a difficult thing to go through, but God has his purposes, and we should still pray for his release. And she said, pray for him to stand firm, that he would meditate on the love of Christ and sacrifice for sinners, that he would be comforted in his chains, and pray for his release. Calgary police, they said in their statement, have received repeated calls from concerned citizens, the angry Christian snitches. The foundation for this, folks, was laid well before the COVID panic, well before the gaslighting and fear that was poured on everybody by the mainstream media. The hatred of Christians in general, and it was already happening to Arthur Pawlowski. I interviewed him two months ago, and you saw him arrested in the middle of a highway because they want to do it there. They don't want to do it around people who are going to be recording, people who are family who are going to be crying. That's where they want to get these people. It's a bad photo op if they do it otherwise. What, they didn't look too good when they drug him off on a busy highway either. But the problems that Arthur Pawlowski had began when he was just talking about marriage. It began when he was talking about sin and what the Bible has to say about the LGBT lifestyle. It is not the only sin that is out there, but it is a sin that these people are proud of. And that they will come after anybody who calls it out, who says what God says about it in the Bible. That's where his problems began. Before that, he was celebrated for helping the homeless. And he had a couple of individuals come up and say, we hate what you had to say. And after that, he started getting harassed by the police constantly. That happened well before this. And I'm telling you, the people who have come after him and others, they were flying their rainbow colors. And so you have this built up anti-Christian hatred by these organizations. And this is what you have to look out for with the so-called Equality Act. That is what the essence of that is. They said, Pastor Stevens, we had all these repeated calls from concerned citizens, snitches. Pastor Stevens was proactively served a copy of the court order. He acknowledged the injunction, but he chose to move forward with the service, ignoring requirements for social distancing, mask wearing, and reduced capacity limits for attendees. And this was an outdoor service, by the way. So he's had his church doors shut down. And he took the services underground, but not underground enough. They were doing them outdoors. But it's the same thing that happened with William Pence I've talked about. You know, you can't meet. All right, we're going to lock your church up. They meet on outside on the church steps, so then they take him away. It's exactly where we are. We've forgotten the foundation of Western civilization. Why? Because the universities and institutions hate Western civilization. They hate freedom. They hate individual liberty. They are pushing Marxist values. Stevens' arrest comes at a time when Alberta, under its Catholic premier, Jason Kenney, as pointed out by LifeSite News, because they're Catholic. They said, look at this guy's a Catholic and he's doing this stuff. Yeah. is poised to remove all COVID-19 restrictions within a matter of weeks. In fact, Kenny himself was caught violating his own rules by participating in a patio dinner with several other guests on the rooftop of a government building. And, of course, they always do that. Meanwhile, they've taken away Arthur Pawlowski, and he's jailed. Another guy took over the church services, and now he has been threatened by the police. And then the day after he was threatened by the police, the church was vandalized. During the outdoor service that they had, again, police helicopters flying overhead. It seems like there's absolutely no concern about any real crime, is there? Going back to what I was just saying about, well, you know, we don't want you kids out here smoking, vaping, and you didn't register your bicycle? Well, let's bring in a helicopter and a SWAT team to bully this kid and to steal his bike. And that's what they're doing. You want to talk about the police? You want to talk about defunding the police? I think they're doing it to themselves. They're doing it to themselves. You follow the law, the higher law. In the U.S., you follow the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, or we should defund you. In Canada, you follow the Charter, or you should be defunded. You should be kicked out. Remove these cops. Remove these schools. These institutions have failed. As I pointed out yesterday, some of the police departments, pretty much all the sheriffs in Michigan, opposed the dictates of Whitmer. She continued to push those dictates even after the court said no. And that's a lesson. When the courts make pronouncements, the courts don't have any ability to enforce it. That's what Andrew Jackson said when the court told him that he couldn't do something that, quite frankly, was reprehensible. That was the Cherokee relocation. And he said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Let's see you enforce your order. And basically, the sheriffs in Michigan said to Whitmer, let's see you enforce this. I'm not going to enforce it. I'm not going to let you enforce it either. So the order allows the police to arrest, detain, and imprison anyone who disobeys the court injunction. But they don't have to follow that order any more than the police in Michigan and the sheriffs in Michigan didn't have to follow and did not, in many cases, follow Whitmer's orders. After being served with an injunction to avoid arrest, a person must sign a document promising to forego their charter freedoms. And that's what they did to the guy who is number two to Arthur Pawlowski. The police visited him. They demanded that he sign a document promising to comply with the quote-unquote health regulations. They then threatened to arrest him if he refused to obey. He called his lawyer. The lawyer told him, sign this. He said, I'm signing it, as a video was being taped by his wife. I'm signing this under duress. He was given a provincial court summons and agreed to attend a fingerprint appointment. And he said, this is communism today in Canada. His wife then engaged the police officer. Listen to the conversation back and forth between these two. She said, so you get paid to persecute Christians? She said that to the police officer. And he replied, we get paid to do our job. Yes. That's what their job is today, to persecute Christians. He's just following orders. I just follow the orders. I should not be here at Nuremberg. I was just following the orders. The following day, congregants of the church found large amounts of horse manure, garbage, needles spread throughout the parking lot. This act of vandalism is preceded by another where nails and dog feces were left in the parking lot. In addition to that, Pawlowski's home has suffered an arsonist attack. So where does this hate come from? Again, it's coming from the LGBT. A priest calls the police on a man who was wearing a mask in his church because of medical reasons. And this is in Ontario. A different response from the police, however. Nick Lusito contacted LifeSite News. He attended this church in Ontario, Canada, the St. Patrick's Basilica. He and his wife were visiting. It's not their church, their parish. He did not put on a mask since he is legally exempted because of health conditions. He was first confronted by an employee. Then he was confronted by a priest. He said he came up very rudely, asked me to leave as well. Then the associate rector of the church called the police. He tried to tell both the employees, the priest, and the first police officer that came that he wanted to complete his prayers without interruption, but to no avail. So after a while, more police officers come because we got a big deal here. I mean, this is like a drug bust or something, right? It's like what they did in Baltimore at the beginning of all this. They had a small black church, 8 people, and you could have 10 people. And they came up with 4 police cars, 2 cops in each one. And the pastor, who was 70-something years old, said, "What's going on here? This looks like a drug bust." And it was all elderly people, because the reason that there's so much crime in Baltimore is because it's only the elderly, 10 elderly people, 8 to 10 elderly people that are even going to church anymore. Anyway, after a while, more police officers arrived, he said, because they were people were starting to come there for the church service. He just decided to leave. But the police officer said, "We don't really have anything to charge you with," and they went home. That's Ontario. It's different from Alberta, where they would have sent in helicopters and SUVs and SWAT team and drug him out. He's now considering legal action. Good for him. In other aspects of the lockdown, a major U.S. mall owner has filed for bankruptcy, and this is a major owner of malls. This corporation, Washington Prime Group, traded on Wall Street, they own 100 mall locations across the country. They've now been bankrupted, filed for Chapter 11 because of the lockdown instituted by Donald Trump and his master, Fauci, 459 days ago. Supply chain chaos as container rates skyrocket even higher, and there is no end in sight, says Zero Hedge. The balance is tipping more to the detriment of cargo shippers each passing week. We haven't seen the worst of it. And they said, in every different direction, Asia to West Coast rates are jumping. They said Panama spread keeps widening. The transatlantic westbound rates keep rising. But when you look at the trans-Pacific rates, stuff that is coming between the U.S. and China, they said there's always been an unbalanced trade between the Trans-Pacific and the Transatlantic. And now even more so. There's a scramble to get empty containers to the West Coast ports so they can be returned to Asia so they can be used for U.S. imports. They don't buy anything from us in China. We buy everything from them. And now the cost of everything is going to be going up because of this lockdown. Because China ate Trump's lunch. He was had by them. If he isn't a globalist, I think he is a globalist shill. And if he isn't, he is absolutely the dumbest president we've ever seen in our lifetime. And that includes Biden. The joke I played yesterday, George Carlin, saying, how do you know when a stupid person becomes senile? How will we know when Trump becomes senile? I don't think Biden was stupid. I think he was very cunning. I think he was a dangerous individual, had absolutely no respect for individual liberty his entire life. He was at the essence of all the civil asset forfeiture, of the unconstitutional war on drugs, on the mandatory minimums that locked people up everywhere. He pushed gun control everywhere. He questioned Clarence Thomas, said Clarence Thomas was not fit to be a Supreme Court justice because he believed in the natural rights that are the foundation of the Declaration of Independence and the values of this country was built upon. Joe Biden is antithetical to all that, but he understood what that was. And I don't think Trump is stupid, really. I think he's a traitor. 99% increase in chicken wing prices. And this is in Buffalo, Buffalo Wings. And the guy who has a very famous restaurant there said that the price has gone up that much because they can't get any labor on the farms. He said a couple of years ago, in an earlier shortage, prices for chicken wings rose to $2.25 a pound. That was unheard of. But today, they're at $2.75 a pound. And of course, it's not just the farms. It is also the restaurants where there is absolutely no labor. I guess it's not essential, is it? I guess when Fauci and Trump decided they knew which industries were essential and which businesses were essential and which ones weren't, they really didn't know. Or maybe it was just an attack on the middle class. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it was.
The common man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
All right, and I want to talk about vaccines and updates on what is happening with that. Before I do, real quickly, I've got a letter. This was sent to me by listener Aaron. He sent some photographs of an autobiography that he's reading of a guy who was a missionary, Charles Derry, and back in the 1800s. And listen to what happened, because human nature doesn't change. The nature of doctors doesn't change. The nature of technology doesn't change. The politics of all this doesn't change. Here's his diary. July 30th, calm all night, second cabin in confusion by a cry that smallpox is on board and that everyone must be vaccinated. Declared to be a ruse to give the doctor a chance to make money. July 31st. My head is light. Many are refusing to be vaccinated. I shall submit to orders, but I have no faith in the vaccination. And then nothing else happens with that. It was all just a ruse. From that, he just changes the topic. He was right. It was all simply a scare tactic to give the doctor a chance to make money. And he forced vaccinations on people. He said, also, I see you said something in a podcast, excuse me, a couple of weeks ago, back now, about how God loves dealing with impossible odds. Yes. It reminded me of something my father told me a few months ago after I told him how it was just amazing how all these people are combined against us with all this awful agenda. He responded back with, well, that's how God loves it. When all the odds are against him, it's when he does his best work. That's absolutely right. You know, I saw an article, and I still have not talked about this, but it was an article, and the title was, it showed a picture of David and Goliath. I thought, oh, that's interesting. What are they saying about that? And he said some of the same things that I said in my speech on Memorial Day at Gerald Celente's Occupy Peace rally. I said, we need to understand that we're in a war. The war has already started. The war started with economic sanctions, as always has. Back in the day when you had city-states and you had castles, they would surround the castle and they would do economic sanctions to try to weaken the people or to make them to submit. But even if they didn't submit, they would be weakened for the battle by starvation. And so I said, that's exactly what they've done to the middle class this last year with the lockdown. It's economic sanctions. You can see that now as they, when they come after a particular country, they go after Iran. What do? They put economic sanctions on to weaken them. And so I said, the war has already started because economic sanctions are an act of war. And we have to understand that we don't fight the same way they do. And that was one of the things that this guy was saying in his article. He made some of the same comparisons that I had made about George Washington, how Washington always got his clock cleaned whenever he decided that he would fight the way they fought. You know, I'm going to line up in a line and we'll just take shots at each other, right? Like they did so many times in the Civil War. But when the American troops shot from behind the rocks and the stone walls and things, that's when they had their victories, or at least when the British had their Pyrrhic victories. Oh, yeah, we got the stuff, but, yeah, we lost most of our people. Can't keep having victories like that, or we won't have any soldiers left. So, yeah, it's asymmetric warfare. But I said, what is our asymmetric warfare? When we look at situations like the Afghanistan War, the Iraq War, you have the awesome might and military power of the U.S. government bombing everything into rubble, and yet they still have to put boots on the ground. And once they put the boots on the ground, you have the improvised bombs, and you have the guerrilla attacks, and you have the snipers and so forth, and they can't not control it. We have lost every asymmetric war in spite of our military superiority, in the same way that the British lost in spite of their military superiority. So is that the answer? Do we want to turn our country into an Iraq or an Afghanistan? Well, I think the Democrats would like to do that. They'd like to do that through civil war, through race war, through gun confiscation, you name it. We got a whole bunch of things that they're pulling in to try to make that happen. We don't want that either, because that is also their war. Let me tell you, it's not just using the military, but it's also creating a civil war conflict. That is their approach. What is our approach? And that's why I looked at the David and Goliath article. Our approach is asymmetric warfare. The guy that wrote that article got it completely wrong. He said, well, you know, David won because he refused to use in the face of a superior military might of this giant in armor. He refused to use that, and he took an asymmetric approach, and he was light and fast, and he threw stones. It's like, that's not why he won. That's not why he won. He won because the Philistines were coming after God, and because God will honor those who honor him. And David had honored him. David had five stones because Goliath had four brothers. He was absolutely confident that he was going to win. And we need to be as confident that we're going to win. Not because God is on our side, but because we're on God's side. Yeah, I laugh when I see the statement, God is my co-pilot. No. He's flying the plane. If you're like me, you're in the back next to the restroom about to puke because of the turbulence. But God's got it. He's up there. He's flying the plane. It's okay. And we need to keep remembering and reminding ourselves of that and following on the path. Following on the path. Pfizer and Moderna jabs are causing heart inflammation. Who knew, right? Well, we knew this, and we knew this last week. We're going to have an emergency meeting over this because it even came out, even Israel, that jumped out ahead of everybody else and vaccinated more people than everybody else. They said, yeah, we've noticed this. Everybody knows this is happening. It's not a secret. The amazing thing is that they waited a week. If it's an emergency and you got young people dying who don't have any risk from the virus, according to their own stats, their own rigged stats, they couldn't even rig the stats to make it look like a threat to the young people. If you have a situation like that, why isn't it an emergency that you would do it right now? If it is emergency, do it now. Don't wait another week. No, they're waiting another week because they're coming up with lies to explain it away and to continue down the same path they've been going. And here's the beginning of it. Pfizer, meanwhile, as they're preparing their alibis, Pfizer said the number of reports is small given the number of doses administered. Why, again, I'll repeat. Look at the Boeing Max versus the Pfizer Vax. Boeing doesn't have legal immunity. Boeing didn't say, well, yeah, well, look at all the different 737 Maxes that didn't crash. Look at that. Yeah, aren't you happy? And by the way, you know, let's just have a lottery. Well, fly the 737. If you do that, we might give you some free trips or something. WND says, sending your son to college? Is the vaccine worth it? When you get a letter from the college administration saying you got to get an injection or you're barred from our campus, many young Americans and their parents rush to comply. Why? Because they think a college degree is going to make their life better. Our vigilant, world-renowned scientific and health agencies would never allow an unsafe product to be authorized, would they? Writes WND. And we've seen over the last week, began a week ago Monday, You had the committee there at the FDA looking at the new Alzheimer's drug, and you had all 11 of them, not a single one of them approved it. They all said, the scientific advisory committee, science, we're talking science here, they said, all 10 of them said no, no. One of them abstained. And the FDA approved it anyway. They've never done that before when there was a unanimous decision where they all said, no, it's not approved. It wasn't effective according to the test, and it had severe side effects. But here's the biggest side effect that you don't see. $56,000 a year, as I pointed out yesterday. It will bankrupt individuals. It will bankrupt our health care system if we do this type of thing with Alzheimer's and the baby boom generation coming up into older years. But that's why the FDA did it. The FDA is not looking out for you. Not at all. So only a couple of the kids have died, right? That's not a big deal. Keep going. You know, we had more people die last week, twice as many people die last week reported, and there's a lot of people who are not reported, than died in all the Boeing MAX crashes. So only a couple died. Many of them recovered enough to be discharged from the hospital. What's the big deal? One of the most severe cases that came to attention at first of the thalidomide disaster showed that it was marketed as safe and effective for everyone in 1957. And the same obstetrician who had prescribed it for morning sickness then noticed babies being born without limbs. Less serious abnormalities were described later. The drug was taken off 5 years later. 5 years later. And the person who gives you the jab in the parking lot of the vaccination center will probably never see you again, unlike the obstetrician. So it will take longer to see that. So why hasn't the program been halted already? Where are the Ralph Naders saying unsafe at any speed? Where are the people that shut down the Boeing 737 MAX? They don't care. Because we've got people like Stephen Colbert. We've got people like Fauci who are pushing for this. We've got people like Trump who are pushing it. Trump, who developed the Trump vaccine and who is still cheerleading the Trump vaccine. Who never fired Fauci, never had a problem with Fauci until Fauci had a problem with him. Here's what Dr. Peter McCullough has to say. If you want to talk about experts, he lays out his credentials, and then I want you to hear what he says at the very end of this video. Wait for it.
A professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine on the Baylor-Dallas campus. I practice internal medicine and cardiology. When the pandemic hit, I refocused all of my efforts on COVID-19. I'm the editor of Reviews in Cardiovascular Medicine. I'm the editor of Cardiorenal Medicine. This is my area of research. Senior Associate Editor of American Journal of Cardiology. I'm the president of the Cardiorenal Society. And in my field about heart and kidney connections, I'm the most published person in my field in the world in history. And I have developed great experience in treating COVID-19. I've published the two major treatment papers, and I've led the early treatment initiative in the United States. So I have, whether people like it or not, I have declared my medical authority in doing this to a greater extent than anybody in public health agencies or any other media doctor. I've seen and examined more patients. I've treated more patients. I've published more on COVID-19. I have the best academic record. I've had the illness myself. My father has had it. I've had a death in my family due to the illness. Who in one single person in the world can say that? So I am taking the moral and clinical and ethical and human authority and challenging anybody to come after me. Basically, it's the largest application of a biological product with the greatest amount of morbidity and mortality in the history of our country. We are at over 5,000 deaths, and we have a pretty good lead that the real number is tenfold. We have inside people. We have now a whistleblower inside the CMS, and we have two whistleblowers within the CDC. But we're looking at 10x. We think we have 50,000 dead Americans.
You hear that? We've had HHS, former HHS head, said only about 1% are reported to VAERS. He's going conservatively. He's saying 10. Even if we don't do that, and again, this is about a week old, so it's now up to 6,000. But he was saying, yeah, 5,000. And but we think that it really is more like 50,000. Even if it was only the number reported, that is more than we've had reported in decades cumulatively. More than we've had reported, and I think it's now up to 23, 24 years combined of the 31 years that they've been keeping statistics on vaccines. Why are we continuing on with this? That is the only question. Why are we continuing on with it? And as the article from WND says, it's not just the boys. Your daughter is also at risk. The heart problems are less frequent in women, but women are not exempt. Where do those lipid nanoparticles enclosed in PEG go? What happens to that? He goes on to say that he believes that the spike protein is going to continue to cause heart issues for these people, these teens, for the rest of their life, even if they survive. And I think that's true. We've always seen the most adverse effects take a while to develop. That's the other thing that is incredibly disturbing about this Trump vaccine program, and that is how rapidly it is ramped up. You typically have never... The most well-documented case of adverse effects was Pandemrix when Fauci and Slaoui, Moncef Slaoui, teamed up back in 2009 because it took only a year for these to show up. We're only a couple of months in, and we've got more people that are dead and disabled than we have in decades, nearly the entire cumulative database. Why are we not stopping this? This is how corrupt and out of control our country is, and you can see it in everything, even including the so-called comedy shows. And it's not just the men. We have a Northwestern University student appears to have died from heart inflammation linked to COVID vaccine. A 19-year-old Northwestern University student, beautiful young black girl. Will they care because it's a woman? Will they care because she's black? No, they won't. They'll lie to you about it. Died on June 11th, 2 months after she received her first dose of Moderna and a month after receiving the second dose. She had developed heart problems. They did a heart transplant. She suffered from myocarditis and inflammation of the heart muscles. They did a heart transplant. It lasted only a week. The university newspaper reported that she died from pneumonia complications. And as we look at what is being dictated to college students like this 19-year-old who had to get the vaccine, the Arizona governor responded to Arizona State University. They said, well, we're going to have for in-person classes in August, you will have to be fully vaccinated. And students who do not agree to disclose their vaccination status or who are not vaccinated for whatever reason will be required to participate in ongoing health protocols, beginning with a daily health check and on. You'll have to wear a mask in all indoor and outdoor spaces on the Arizona State University campus. The governor, Doug Ducey, then issued, in response to that, an executive order barring Arizona public colleges and universities from demanding COVID-19 vaccines or documents or forcing students to get tested every day or wearing masks for in-person classes. He just took the whole thing out. And so now we're going to see what happens, whether they will listen to him or not. Quite frankly, there's a good possibility that they won't, because that's how arrogant these Marxist seminaries have become. And I say to you that the biggest threat to your children is not even their health when you send them there. It's the attack on their mind and the attack on their spirit. That's it for the broadcast today. Join us for the radio program. By the way, if you don't get the radio program at 1360khnc.com, I do put up an edited version without commercials each day on the audio podcast. We put it up on our video channels as well, typically. But it's on the video channels. It's on the podcast channels. And it's about 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I guess, by the time we take the commercials out. So I try to cover different topics, but there'll be some topics that I will repeat in a shortened format because they are really key. But I'll be getting into some new stuff that I didn't talk about today. For example, G7. The nations are still spending more on fossil fuel than they are on green energy. Why? Because the green energy doesn't work on grids. It's great if you're off the grid. It's great to power your home with solar power and battery. It doesn't work for the grid. And the whole thing is yet another one of these schemes of crony capitalism to make the corporations wealthy, just like this pandemic has been. It's all about the same agenda. It's all to benefit the same people, and it's all to make us into serfs. Thank you for listening. Here's where you can support us, and we really do need your support. We really do appreciate your support. Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.